Here's good. Stop here. Can the rest still see us?
Yes, but just barely.
But they can't hear us.
They might hear our voices, but they're not going to hear the words that we're saying.
Yes, here's good. He who has shared my bread has lifted his heel against me.
That's from the Psalms, isn't it? Even my close friend whom I trusted.
Very good, John. Yes, it is.
But why do you quote that now?
Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.
Do you know that reference, John?
Sounds familiar.
From Zechariah's prophecy. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.
Jesus, you have referred to yourself as a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Are you saying this prophecy from Zechariah points to you?
Yes, Peter, it's true. My hour has come. Zechariah's prophecy from hundreds of years ago will be fulfilled before you tonight.
Lord, I will not let that happen. Are we disciples of sheep that will be scattered? No, I would fight to death before I will let them do anything to you.
Peter, look. The truth of the matter is this. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times.
Lord, what's wrong? Can we help you?
I don't want the others to see me like this. The hour of my testing has come, and I don't know if I have the strength to endure it. My soul is so overwhelmed with sorrow, I feel like I'm dying. Keep watch for me here and pray. I'm going to go pray alone.
You can count on us, Jesus.
John, did you discover who he was alluding to at dinner when he said one of us would betray him?
Do you think that's what the psalm is about?
Yes and yes. When I asked him who he meant, he told me, the one whom I will give this piece of bread when it has been dipped in the plate.
It wasn't one of us, was it?
No, not one of us. It was Judas Iscariot.
That snake! I knew he was crooked.
So that's why he left. I thought he was going to do something with the Passover meal. I completely thought he was doing something to help Jesus.
I know Judas isn't our favorite person, but I can't believe he would turn his back on Jesus. He's been with us from the start. He has seen the miracles Jesus has done. How could he plan to betray God incarnate?
Maybe he's not convinced on that point.
I know he was hoping for a Messiah who would deliver Israel from Rome. Maybe he finally realized Jesus wasn't going to bring the kingdom he was expecting.
Even so, I don't understand how Judas could do it. Jesus loves and teaches and heals. How could someone on the same path turn his back on those virtues and the man that embodies them? It's unfathomable to me. My brother James and I used to be fishermen. Simon too, in fact. Life as a fisherman was very different from that of being a disciple. I was caught off guard the day that Jesus invited James and I to be his disciples. He had asked Simon, who was a partner of ours, to do him a favor. Jesus asked if he could sit in Simon's boat while we brought it out away from the shore so that the crowds could hear us better. Could hear Jesus better. After Jesus was done teaching, he told Simon to go further out and put the nets in the deep water. We had already worked hard all through the night and hadn't caught a single thing. What's more, anyone can tell that fish don't bite in the daytime. If you knew Simon, you would have guessed how he would react to a strange man from a landlocked place like Nazareth telling him, a seasoned fisherman, how to do his job. But Simon surprised us. Somehow he swallowed his pride and said that though he didn't think it was a good idea, he would follow Jesus' instructions. Though it didn't make a speck of logical sense, he then caught so many fish that the nets almost broke and the boat began to sink. I believe Jesus has a good sense of timing. If he would have invited James and me to follow him before his interaction with Simon, we probably would have laughed. If he'd invited us to join him in a week later, we'd have figured out a way to rationalize the whole thing away. But after witnessing a miracle like that, how could any fisherman not believe? As the saying goes, a journey of a thousand miles begins with the first step. In one of the boldest steps of faith we've ever taken, we said goodbye to our livelihood, our family, including my father who was right there in the boat with us, and virtually all we knew and held dear to journey with this stranger into the unknown. That may very well be the best decision I've ever made in my life. Since that day, I've had the opportunity to get to know Jesus. I think of him, my Lord, my teacher, my Messiah, as one of my closest friends.
Abba, Father, for you nothing is impossible. If there is another way, take this cup from me. Yet, even in this, my desire is to do your will, not merely my own. Simon, are you sleeping?
I drifted off.
Could you men not keep watch for 1 hour? 1 hour! If you insist that your devotion knows no bounds, can't you at least keep watch and pray for me while I seek the strength that I need?
Sorry, Jesus. We'll stay awake and work and alert and pray for you.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
Another psalm, John? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
We will gather our strength and pray for you, Jesus.
Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
It's so strange to see him so agitated like this.
My thoughts exactly. Usually nothing scares him.
All the demons we've seen him cast out, he hasn't even flinched.
When we almost drowned in that boat and he stayed asleep the whole time, he wasn't scared at all. He rebuked us for our lack of faith.
He's not afraid of people with authority either. Pharisees, Sadducees, Roman rulers. He marches to the beat of his own drum, no matter how much they try to intimidate him.
But now, he looks like he's sweating blood. He's so worked up.
The prophecies he's quoting are quite dark, too. I wonder what the rest of this night will hold for us. It's been a memorable evening, to be sure. Earlier today, Jesus sent Simon and me out on a mission to prepare the Passover meal together. He had very specific instructions for us. When we entered the city, we found a man with a jar of water and followed him into a house. We asked for the owner of the house and said to him, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where my disciples and I can hold the Passover meal?" The man seemed to know exactly what we were talking about and led us to a furnished room. After Simon and I had everything ready, Jesus and the rest of the disciples arrived. We began to eat, but Jesus shocked us by leaving his plate. He took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, and then poured water in a basin. Andrew was seated closest to the door, and Jesus knelt to wash his feet. It became quite clear that he had intended on washing all of our feet. None of us was quite sure what to do. It didn't seem right for our humble leader to humble himself like this and do such a thing. Was it a test? How was he hoping we would react? Simon, of course, had to say something. He told Jesus he would never allow him to wash his feet. That was not the response Jesus was looking for. He told Simon, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." So then Simon changed his tune and asked Jesus to wash not only his feet, but his head and his hands as well. Again, not the response Jesus was looking for. He told him a person who had already had a bath only needed to have his feet washed to be clean. I didn't protest at all. I felt awkward during the whole ritual. But Jesus also told us, though we did not realize what he was doing now, we would understand later. I'm trusting that to be true. It felt monumental, but I can't explain why just yet. When Jesus returned to the meal, he said some interesting things as well. When he broke the bread of the meal, he referred to it as his body, saying it was given for us. He also took a cup of wine to share with us and called it the new covenant in his blood, which is poured out for us. I think he was referencing a teaching he gave some time ago, where he referred to himself as the bread of heaven. He then said such things as eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and many of his followers turned away because of it. In a concrete, literal imagery, it's quite a horrific thought, but Jesus often uses analogies and metaphors, so I'm trying to think through what those really meant.
My Father, if the only way is for me to drink this cup, may your will be done.
Is that an angel I see? An angel is speaking with Jesus, or I'm dreaming?
Sleeping again? Oh, frail humanity. You are weary with sorrow, too. Keep watch for me here just a little longer, friends.
He's been preparing us for something. He alludes to going away and speaks of death, but I'm not sure if that's a metaphor or not. He told us plainly at the meal tonight that one of us would betray him, but we were all shocked with that announcement. When Simon caught my eye, he gestured for me to ask Jesus who it was that was going to betray him, who he was speaking of. As you have already heard me tell these two, the answer was Judas. But what exactly is this betrayal Jesus spoke of? We know the Pharisees and the chief priests have been seeking for any sign of Jesus, and if they discover where he is, they'll arrest him. Would Judas have the gall to turn us all in? I guess I just have to trust the Lord. I know Jesus is divine, and I know I would follow him anywhere. Rather than let my imagination go wild with what-ifs and worst-case scenarios, I think I should focus on doing what I'm asked to do. Right now, I guess that would mean praying.
Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent my disciples. Protect them by the power of your name. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and I have made you known to them. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. friends, are you still resting? It's time to get up.
Are your prayers complete, Jesus?
Yes, Peter.
You seem more like your old self.
Did I see an angel with you, or was that a dream?
That was real, James. My father sent one last encouragement to get me through what lies ahead.
And what is that, Jesus? What happens now?
Look, here comes my betrayer.
We stood there and watched while Judas Iscariot led a crowd armed with clubs and swords to Jesus. He greeted Jesus with a kiss, and though Jesus saw through this warm gesture, he still called Judas friend. Friend, do what you came for, Jesus told him. When the crowd moved to arrest him, Simon sprang into action. He grabbed his sword, sliced off the man's ear, and as is often the case, Simon's violent reaction was not what Jesus expected or wanted. Not only did he tell him to put his sword away, but he healed the man's ear. He performed a miracle in front of the very crowd that was going to take him prisoner. The last words we heard Jesus say were that the scripture had to be fulfilled, and then the crowd began to lead him away. Jesus ran to the rest of the disciples, and they fled from the garden. Simon and I are trying to decide what to do next. Fear would have us return to the safety of Galilee, far from Jerusalem, back to Martha's home at Bethany, perhaps. The fear we feel is so strong right now, I can feel my heart racing and my palms sweating. But our love for Jesus is even stronger. Perfect love drives out fear. Love would have us follow the crowd into the heart of Jerusalem. Peter thinks Jesus will be brought before the Sanhedrin. I may be able to get into the high priest's court. I'm not sure if we could actually say anything to the group there or not, but at least we would be present. Jesus wouldn't let us fight for his safety. But he'll see we can stand with him through this darkest hour.